Kunjabi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari Gopi Girivar Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Kunja Bihar Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you so much.
His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu Ki. He's a resident Gandharva of the Alachua community. So thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I first offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, for starting the ISKCON Hare Krishna, modern day Hare Krishna movement in the 1960s. We are coming up on 60 years of the Hare Krishna movement, for starting this Sunday feast program, for starting many, many temples and communities that allow all of us to find time out of our busy lives and schedules to come and to participate in Krishna Katha, Krishna Naam, and to get some spiritual samskars that we can take back in our lives. I also offer my heartfelt gratitude and obeisances to my spiritual master, my teacher, for inspiring me, for guiding me in how to lead my life, how to be a decent human being in the service of the broader movement and of divinity themselves. And my gratitude to the community of ISKCON Alachua, to the leadership, to the management, and to the congregation for continuing to set a standard for how to host programs, how to host festivals, and how to serve out feasts and prasadam and goodwill across this region and beyond. And thank you to all of you for participating today. So you might be wondering that this is a Hare Krishna temple. It's a Sunday evening, you know, first Sunday of May. Why are we talking about Star Wars here? Why is it a relevant topic? Any thoughts? It's a temporary material thing. Yeah, and maybe there's a reason why I chose it specifically. Tomorrow is May the 4th. Now, say that again. I promise I'm not paid by Lucasfilms or by Disney to. But there is a movie coming out on May 22nd. Yes. So May the 4th is the date that most of the world celebrates as Star Wars Day, which is tomorrow. And do you know why it is called? Why May the 4th is the date? May the 4th be with you. So it's the most famous line out of Star Wars, right? The whole saga. If you can sum up in one sentence, it is, may the force be with you. So people decided that may the force sounds very similar to May the 4th. So they ended up making May the 4th as Star Wars Day. Now think of it, our festivals that we celebrate, there's a deeper meaning and reason. You know, we can go on for hours and hours for Krishna's appearance and multiple angles and understanding why Krishna appears in the world, why Ramachandra appears in the world, and then nuances upon nuances. And that's the richness of the spiritual life. Material life, May the 4th, sounds like May the 4th, so be it. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about that because Star Wars has defined the culture. That movie came out in the 1970s, and it has defined the lingo, how we converse in the world. It has changed how the movie makers make movies. It intrigued the minds of people when the movies first came out. Was anyone around that time? Did anyone get to see? Yes. I think in this community, I'll find a lot of people who watch the movies first time. Amazing. So glad that you're all here. That when it came out, there was people were intrigued that what happens in the universe? Are there aliens? What is life like in those planets? And then you have this epic saga that is created where there is wars happening in the space. There are universes and there are planets and there are galaxies. And so we'll begin this class a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. All right. And some people just consider Star Wars to be about those lightsabers and the spaceships. But there's something deeper to the whole movie and how it connects to a tradition. And that's what I want to speak about. I took a lot of inspiration from the writings of His Grace Satyaraj Prabhu. Does anyone know Satyaraj Prabhu? Yes. He has written a book on this very topic. It's called The Jedi on the Lotus, Srila Prabhupada and Star Wars. And he talks about how Srila Prabhupada essentially is a real-life Jedi and not just a made-up concept that was in the movies. So if you strip away the idea of what Star Wars as a culture has done, I mean, you go to Orlando 2 hours down, there's a whole new Star Wars world that is coming up. There are people who dress up. So it has injected, the story has injected itself into the consciousness of the world. And that's something that we are trying to do with the Vedic tradition, with the actual tradition. So there are lessons for us to learn from what they have done. And also, where did it all originate? So if we strip away the glamour of it, the story is very simple, right? There is a young man. He's on a backwater planet. He feels that something is missing in his life. A crisis hits his life. His home is destroyed. A teacher appears in his life. The teacher guides him. He faces his darkness and his shadow. He discovers who he really is, and he returns home transformed. Right? Who is the hero of Star Wars? Luke Skywalker, right? It's the story of Luke Skywalker. But can you tell me who else is a familiar person who has went through similar crises in their lives? Arjuna, right? Think of it. A young man feels that something is missing. A crisis hits. His home is about to be destroyed. A teacher appears in his life. The teacher trains his mind. He faces his darkness and shadow. He discovers who he is, and he is transformed. So it's the same shape, same beats, same medicine, right? The first story was told in 1970s in the frame of Luke Skywalker. The original story of Arjuna was told 5,000 years ago, which we call the Bhagavad Gita. And it's very similar, right? There is a lot of similarity. And the reason it is similar is it's because it's by design. The writer of Star Wars, what's his name? The person who created? George Lucas, very good. So when George Lucas was conceiving the idea of writing this epic saga, he was reading an author called as Joseph Campbell. How many of you have heard of Joseph Campbell? What's his most famous book? Yes. But what's the name of the book? The Hero with a Thousand Faces. So Joseph Campbell was an author and a writer back in the 20s, 20s and 30s. And he came up with this idea, which he calls as the monomyth. He says that the story of this story that we talked about, a young hero, a young person living in obscurity, doesn't know who he is, faces a crisis. He doesn't know how to deal with the crisis. He rises up to the occasion to face the crisis with the help of a teacher. He faces the crisis, faces his dark side, and comes out transformed. He says that that is common across many, many traditions. And the origin of all of that goes back to the Bhagavad Gita, where we see, and he calls it the hero's journey. He calls it that this myth, he calls it as a monomyth, because it is similar across traditions. And not just across traditions, it's equally applicable in our own lives. If we think and reflect back on our own lives, we lead our lives, then a crisis hits, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's a crisis of faith, whether it's a crisis of relationships, whether it's a crisis at a global scale, whatever that crisis is, we are impacted by that crisis. All of us have faced a crisis, are facing a crisis, or about to face a crisis. That's the nature of this world. So crisis will always remain. Or we are actively dealing with it right now. So what is that crisis that you're facing right now, I just want you all to think about it and just bring it to surface. It could be a simple crisis that my car got towed this morning. Or it could be a crisis of a scale that is hard to imagine. So whatever that crisis is, we live in a world where crisis will always take place. That's the nature of this world. Then we are given an opportunity to see a teacher. We have our teachers. We'll get to that. And then we face our shadows and we go out of it. So the idea being that this is there in all traditions, whether you think of Harry Potter and his crisis and the Dark Lord he's fighting and he discovers himself and his teacher Dumbledore is giving him advice, whether you think of Moana, whether you think of any cultural icons from today, the journey of transformation is very similar. And Joseph Campbell got his inspirations from reading the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, and the Ramayana. And that's where he talks about it. And then when George Lucas was writing and conceiving, he mentions that Joseph Campbell is my Jedi, he's my Yoda, and I get inspirations from him. So ultimately, it goes back to the Vedic tradition where these lessons ultimately come from. Now, there are some obvious... So this is the philosophical similarities between the two traditions. There's obvious similarities also. A princess gets kidnapped, Princess Leia. She gets kidnapped by the dark side. And then a ragtag team of rescuers go and rescue her, and they bring her back. What's a similar story in the Vedic tradition that we know about? The Ramayana, right? In Ramayana, there's Lord Ramachandra, and there's Hanuman. In Star Wars, there is Luke Skywalker, and there is Chewie, Chewbacca. And Chewbacca is very similar, George Lucas talks about, is based on the character of Hanuman. It's like half animal, half human, but is discovering his power, does superhuman feats. So there are obvious similarities. The princess there, they name her Padme, which in Sanskrit means lotus. Right? The word Yoda is actually brought from the word Yodha, because Yoda was a fighter. There's a fighter named Ahsoka, based out of Ashoka, the great king. There's a Jedi named Shakti. So there's obviously a lot of similarities at the surface level, but then there is obviously this deeper traditions that we are seeing. So the first thing that I want you all to remember is to think of that moment, that what is that moment of crisis? That's there, that is present in your life. And if you cannot think of anything, maybe think of something that you think on a day-to-day basis you lead your life, that there's something more, that there's something missing in life. That this is not the whole picture, that I do my work. And even if you are a devotee in the tradition where we have the ultimate understanding, see if you can relate to that idea of, I just feel some incompleteness despite everything being present around me. Right? So that's where we will be at par. So we will parallelly follow the journey of Luke Skywalker, of Arjuna, and of ourselves throughout this class. So that's the framework of this class, that we'll see how Star Wars and the Bhagavad Gita run in parallel and how they're both applicable to our lives. So maybe tomorrow you're inspired to watch the Star Wars. I'm not endorsing or saying anything. Or maybe you're faced to reflect on your own life. This is the framework we are going to be following today. All right. So in every great story, the hero does not begin as the hero, right? The hero is just a regular person, right? It's a farm boy. It's a hobbit. It's a clerk. It's a warrior who is scared, right? What makes them hero is when the crisis hits. So in our life, if we have a tendency to run away from crisis, to be afraid of that I hope everything goes okay, that means that we are not seeing the lesson what our scriptures and Shastra and these stories are talking about, which is that our heroism comes out in the moments of crisis. Without a crisis, there's no hero, because everything is hunky-dory, everything is okay in life. And that's why in the Vedic tradition, Queen Kunti prays that, my Lord, give us more crisis. Give us more crisis. Because the crisis offers an opportunity for us to rise up to that standard. Now, I could be just somebody who does lip service and talks about it, but I can say that I am actively going through a crisis, and my wife can attest that there's an active crisis that is present in my life that I'm dealing with and navigating. And so this hits closer to home as I talk about this. So now, let's talk about Luke Skywalker, right? He's living on a planet. What planet is he living on? He lives on Tatooine. He lives on a planet. He comes back from his farm. He goes to his home. And what does he see? He notices his aunt and uncle are murdered. They're burnt to ash. Everything that was familiar to him is gone. Now, what does he do in that crisis? He's just standing there thinking that what just happened to my life? Now, think of our warrior, Arjuna. Before the battle, he knows that the battle of Mahabharata, and again, that's a separate topic, but the battle is about to rage. And he's kind of prepared. He knows what he's about to face. He's ready. Think of it. The day of the war, the first day of the war, he readies himself up. He puts on his helmet. He puts on his armor. He makes sure that his bow and arrow and his quiver and his swords and all his equipment and weaponry is ready. He makes sure that his horses are ready. He goes up to the battlefield. He's feeling ready in some sense that, yeah, this is inevitable and I'm about to face it. The war, the conch shells are about to begin. There's a whole process of how the war begins. But he asks his friend Krishna that, why don't you put the chariot in the middle so I can just see who's around? I just want to survey. What am I up against? I know intellectually, I understand. So his crisis, his moment of crisis is coming. And Krishna parks the chariot right in between the two armies. And Arjuna is parked in the center and he sees two personalities on two sides. Now, who are these personalities that he sees? Who are the two people that Arjuna sees the first time? Bhishma and Drona. So Krishna deliberately parks the chariot in such a way that Bhishma is on one side and Drona is on the other side. Now, it's at that moment when the crisis hits for Arjuna, for sure. Why? Because one of them is his great-grandfather who took care of him since he was a baby, gave him utmost love, care, adulation, support, everything that he could look into. And the other one was his teacher, the one who taught him. Arjuna was Drona's favorite student. Beyond, Drona had his son, but Arjuna became even better than his son. And so he becomes his favorite student. And he's standing right in between, and his crisis hits that, how do I fight these people? How do I kill these people? How do I even get my bow and arrow out? What kind of a cruel person would I be? What to speak of killing to fight against these people? And he says that my limbs are quivering, my mouth is drying up, my body is trembling, and my hair is standing on end. Now think of your own crisis that you have brought to your mind, to attention. You don't have to share it, obviously, but think of it. How do you feel in that moment of crisis when you're faced with it? When you're fully, we may be in a situation we are not acknowledging that there is a crisis, right? Sometimes there is a situation that, oh, I don't know there is a crisis. Life is okay, everything is okay. But maybe then we come to the point of acknowledgement as Arjuna is coming closer to the battlefield. What does it feel like to see that crisis on its face? To look at it that, wow, I have to deal with this. This is what is brought in front of me. How do I think of lessons or anything else? This is what is present in front of me. Is it a health challenge? Is it a spiritual crisis? Or is it something you can't even name, but you feel it in your heart? At that moment, Arjuna collapses. He doesn't know what to do. At that moment, Luke Skywalker collapses. He doesn't know what to do. He has no idea who to go to. What do I do? And without this crisis, there's no Gita. Without this crisis, what's the point of the Bhagavad Gita? Until the crisis is realized. And without this crisis, what's the point of our life when we don't face our crisis and we are not allowed to rise above to the level of the crisis? So the first lesson that I want to repeat here is to embrace our crisis. Is to not run away, to see those coping mechanisms and tendencies that come up in our lives, and to have the grit to just witness the crisis, to face it. Only then the journey begins. So the crisis is not the obstacle to my growth, to my becoming. The crisis is the doorway. it's what I have to go through. That's the only way. And until and unless I keep avoiding that crisis, it's going to keep coming in some shape or form, some life lesson, maybe in this lifetime, maybe in another lifetime. But we have to face it. So when that happens, Arjuna obviously goes to his friend who's right there on the chariot. And Arjuna speaks to Krishna and he says that I can't fight this. There's no way. This is unnecessary killing. This is going to create progeny which won't be cultured. We're going to get sins. And isn't killing just bad? And why do I want to kill for property? So he's giving these coping mechanisms and arguments. In the face of our crisis, maybe we might come up with our own arguments. Nah, I don't want to face this. I'm just a spiritual person. I don't want to deal with this. I don't need to deal with this. And Krishna calls Arjuna out that, what's wrong with you? That's what Krishna says essentially. What is wrong with you that you're thinking like this? You are the greatest warrior on the planet. The greatest. You have weapons that nobody carries. You have training that nobody has received. And you are saying that I just want to run away from this hard situation that life has brought in front of me? The same thing happens with Luke Skywalker. Who appears to Luke Skywalker at that time? Obi-Wan. Thank you. At least a fellow Star Wars fan. Obi-Wan Kenobi appears in front of Luke Skywalker. And Obi-Wan tells him the same thing. What's wrong with you? Get up. Let me show you the way of the Jedi. Let me teach you. And at that point, in the crisis, we either fight or resent the crisis, or we humbly accept the crisis and acknowledge that I cannot solve this crisis. I need additional help here. Albert Einstein famously said that we cannot solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created it. That means that if we have a thought pattern, and if that thought pattern and the worldview creates a problem, we cannot solve it using the same methodology. It needs a higher framework to understand it. And that higher framework is the higher guidance that we need in those times. So if you are going through a crisis right now, whatever that crisis that you thought of, think about what could a higher guidance look like to you? Who is your Obi-Wan? Who would come to you and help you? Who is your Krishna who can come and who can guide you? And obviously Krishna, through his representatives, his disciples, his teachers, they provide us ample guidance. People like our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, the great Acharya, his disciples, we have a lot of help. But are we seeing that help? Sometimes it takes a certain level of outlook to see that this is the help in front of me. We might take it for granted, but the crisis, and when we feel the crisis, not just when we face the crisis, when we feel the crisis, we can realize that this is the help that is available. Otherwise, this will be available to us. We might be coming to the temple, we might be practicing, but we may not fully embrace it. Or it might just be that we may have a complacent relationship with the tradition, with our practices. But until the crisis is felt, that's when the help also appears. And we see that, oh wow, this is what Srila Prabhupada was talking about. This is what the Bhagavad Gita talks about. We need to give an opening in our hearts for the spiritual message to be received. Until we feel that I know everything, I got it, that means that the crisis is going to escalate until it feels and that opening is created. Okay, so now the teacher appears, right? So Obi-Wan obviously is a representative who takes Luke to a teacher. Now, who's Luke's actual teacher? What's his name? Yoda, right? Who is Yoda? He's a 900-year-old, 2-foot-tall, green creature on a swamp who speaks in backward riddles. And Luke is looking at Yoda and he asks him, when are we going to see Yoda? Because he doesn't realize that this is the teacher. A similar thing happens with Arjuna. Arjuna was always friends with Krishna. He knew the divinity of Krishna. But it's at that moment when the crisis hits, then he says that, now I'm a soul surrendered to you. You are my teacher. Teach me. So it takes that humility from Arjuna to recognize the teacher who was always present. Krishna was there on his chariot for all this time. So crisis gives us eyes to see who is our teacher, who is the real teacher, who can really help us. So when Arjuna says, now I am your disciple, please instruct me, the crisis has fully permeated his heart and now he's genuinely ready for help. And Krishna, as I was mentioning, the first thing Krishna says, what does he say? He says that, what's wrong with you? That's very similar to what Yoda says to Luke. He says that you are reckless, you know? This mind, your mind has not been trained. Your mind doesn't know how to deal with a crisis. He does not flatter Luke. He tells it as it is. And that's the nature. The word guru means heavy. So when the guru appears, it's heavy. It should feel heavy. It should shake up the very core of our own identity and thoughts that, oof, that's what a guru is. That's when a guru speaks. And we sometimes see Prabhupada's lectures that sometimes he's heavy. He's heavy because we need it, because the punch needs to land in the right spot so that it can shake us up that, yeah. So when Krishna speaks to Arjuna, oh, there's a fly here, sorry. Okay, so what's wrong with you? And when the guru speaks, that's when the disciple is ready to hear. And now the training begins, right? So now the teacher has appeared. So in our crisis, in our circumstances, once the guru appears, then the training has to start. So Luke begins his training on the planet of, I'm going too deep into Star Wars, Dagobah. And in this planet, one of the first instructions Yoda gives to Luke is that, here is your plane, the X-Wing, which is in the swamp. Lift it up with the power of your mind. And Luke says, I'll try. And Yoda says his most famous line. What is the most famous line? Does anyone know? Do or do not, there's no try. He says, do or do not, there's no try. And he tries to concentrate and nothing happens. He says, I can't, it's too big. And then Yoda, again, who's the size of a house cat, he stares and he lifts the whole plane up. And Luke says, I don't believe it. And Yoda replies, that's why you fail. And then Yoda says something super spiritual. He says, you judge me by this size, do you? Luminous beings we are, not this crude matter. Luminous beings we are. What's the first teaching then after Arjuna starts to listen to Krishna? What's the first teaching Krishna gives to Arjuna? You're not this body. Luminous being you are. Do not think of yourself as this body. Do not think of your relatives as this body. Do not think of this whole battlefield as their body. Because nobody's their body. So who's going to die here? And obviously Krishna is answering Arjuna's argument, and that's a topic for a separate conversation. So we see that the core problem in Luke's understanding of the crisis, Arjuna's understanding of the crisis, and possibly our understanding of the crisis is, it's not a power problem. It's not that they don't have power. It's a consciousness problem. It's that we don't have the right consciousness. When Luke's consciousness got transformed to the idea that don't think about the size, think about how you are a luminous, powerful being. When Krishna tells Arjuna how you are a luminous, powerful being, and that's the lesson for us perhaps, that if I have a crisis in my life right now, and if I truly resonate with the idea of me being a spiritual being, how would I react? How would I engage with this crisis? What would shift for me if I see it from the lens of being a spiritual being? Think about it. What would change for you when that same crisis is paraphrased, is rephrased in the idea of you being spirit beyond this matter, powerful than this matter? And when that happens, obviously, then Luke's training begins. And one of the first thing after this thought, Yoda tells Luke that fear, because he notices some fear in him, he says, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 262 and 263, what is Krishna saying? What does Krishna say? While contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment from them, for them. From attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion arises. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool again. So it's a very similar train of thought that both of these teachers are giving. Obviously, the Star Wars is a movie. So it's said the philosophy is in the concept of a movie. But he starts with the idea of fear. And Krishna starts with the idea of contemplation of the senses. So again, another parallel between the two traditions. And it's something similar in our life also. We contemplate the object of the senses. Arjuna is contemplating the war in front of him. Then attachment arises. He's attached to these people that he's seeing. He doesn't want to fight. Then desire arises, karma, that either I want to protect them or either I want to kill them. Then krodha arises. Prabhupada writes that the krodha arises out after karma, because either you achieve something and then you want and you're not fully satisfied and then you get angry, or you try for something and you don't get it and then you get angry. So any result of achieving a material goal is anger. Then delusion arises. Then memory is bewildered. I don't know who I am. Then intelligence is lost. And then complete destruction, and one falls down into the material pool. And Yoda gives the example of another Jedi, which was Luke Skywalker's father, Anakin, who goes through this whole cycle of fear, anger, his attachment. He looks at the queen, Padme. He's attached. He wants to save her to always, so that she never dies. He gets these visions. And then he gets angry. And then the Jedi tells him that you cannot make anyone eternal. They're going to die. So his memory is bewildered. He joins the dark side. So the path to the dark side is what Krishna also provides us. He even says that there are three gates to hell. We see the example of Duryodhan, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, the path to the dark side. Trividham narkasyedam dwaram nashanam atmana kama krodhastatha lobas tasmadetam trayam trajet. That there are three gates to hell. There are three gates to the dark side that are present in our tradition that lead to the degradation of the soul. And then Krishna gives the idea that just like a ladder can go down, it can also get you up. So he gives the example of yoga ladder. And then finally, Luke Skywalker, Yoda reveals to Luke Skywalker the idea of the force. That there is something that is beyond you, beyond me. He says that it's something that permeates all of us. It's beyond us, it surrounds us, it penetrates us, it binds the whole galaxy together. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Mattah partaram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganaiva. There's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Then in 9.4, what does Krishna say? By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Krishna is saying, I am the force. I am that force that permeates. And that name is called as Brahman. So Star Wars stops at this, and obviously the story continues. But the Bhagavad Gita takes us further and develops a relationship. So if we go back to the point of crisis, the teacher has appeared. The teacher has told that you are not this body. You are beyond, so do not think of your crisis and your situation in a material paradigm, because that paradigm does not exist. Think of it with a spiritual paradigm. Then think of how your material paradigm leads you to the dark side. And I am giving you a spiritual paradigm that leads you to the light, which in Star Wars tradition, it's the force, which in our tradition, it's higher consciousness. It's higher consciousness. And there is a practicality to the higher consciousness of coming to the reality where we see the spiritual world and the spiritual reality. So both are presenting the downward trajectory, both the teachers, and the upward trajectory. And then Krishna says that you follow this yoga ladder and the process of yoga and where it can take you, Arjuna. Interestingly, the Star Wars also talks about that the reason force exists within all of us, they call it as midi-chlorians. They say that there is these little particles that present in all of us that makes us spiritual. Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita that Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddesh arjun tishtati, that what it is the Paramatma within our hearts. That's the spiritual spark. That's the force that's present within us. So now, when this topic is presented and you think of your crisis, that you have a crisis, you're seeing it through a material paradigm, You apply a spiritual paradigm, you realize that, oh, I'm a spiritual being. So what does my crisis look like from a spiritual perspective, where I am not this body? And then if I try to solve it with the material paradigm, how it goes down, and if I apply my spiritual understanding, which is given through by teachers, then where could it lead me? And through that process of conversation between the Bhagavad Gita, between Arjuna and Krishna, Arjuna returns to his actual consciousness. And what does he say? My illusion is now gone. I've regained my memory. I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. What happens to Luke Skywalker in this example? After he learns his example, after he realizes that he's a powerful being, and he says that I am a Jedi, I've realized myself. And he recognizes the dark side that existed, and he chooses deliberately, unlike his father who chooses the dark side, he does not. And so the opportunity is for us now, at this moment in time, that the hero's journey, the hero who was seemingly an ordinary person, who discovers a crisis, who is trying to understand how to navigate this crisis, gets a teacher, goes through his lessons, knows the darkness, knows the higher side, and comes to his reality of his actual self, his true self. The boy who left home is not the same one who returns. The warrior who started the war is not the same who is now about to fight the war. And us before the crisis is not the same person who rises up to the crisis and is transformed from the crisis. That is the gift of the hero's journey, and that is the gift of the Bhagavad Gita. So, tomorrow is Star Wars Day. It's not a religious holiday or something to remember, but recognizing that a story so simple can impact the psyche of so many people, that people celebrate, they dress up, they spend money, effort, time, and energy, only to come back to a story which our tradition obviously speaks about. So the opportunity is for us. Maybe we have nothing to do with Star Wars Day. Many of you did not even know it's me who injected the idea that, think about this. But there is an opportunity for us to remember that what is my crisis? It's the remembrance of the hero's journey. Because ultimately, it's honoring the same message, the same tradition that our tradition talks about in a different capacity. Because ultimately, the world needs such stories. That's why every year you'll see a Marvel movie. Every year you'll see a movie with the same theme of the hero's journey. Because that's the journey of the spirit soul in this world. That's our journey. We are the hero of our own lives. And we are going through a crisis. And the opportunity of following a spiritual tradition is to rise up to that journey, to become that hero that Krishna, Prabhupada, our Acharya see us, and that we rise up to that challenge, and then we teach others about that. That's the journey that is given to us. We should not think of ourselves as we are nobodies. We are all heroes in our right, and our journey is present before us. And that's why we are here in this world. We are all going through our challenges, our circumstances, and our crisis, and they are all opportunities for us to rise above the material paradigm that gave birth to those problems, and to surpass it with a spiritual paradigm that can help us overcome and navigate and not just run away from it. Thank you very much. May the force be with you. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, comments, corrections, now would be a good time to take them. Is there a microphone back then? It's coming. I think it's here first, and we can give there.
Well, Prabhuji, thank you very much for your class. It's very interesting. Actually, this is my field of work because I'm a film semiologist. Mm. That's what I went to college to study, you know? So, and now I teach film in the schools, like at the ALA. So the first lesson that I teach to the students about film, which is what I learned from my teachers, I studied with very, very great semiologists, film semiologists. So the first lesson that you learn is that a film is not real, it's an illusion. So that's the first thing you gotta learn. because the three-dimensional reality is projected into two dimensions and is an illusion. So that illusion creates two identifications, is created by two identifications. That was my thesis in college, which is the identification of the spectator with the camera, this powerful entity that can go everywhere, see everything, and the identification with the character. You want to empathize with the hero in his journey, right? And then that creates an illusion. So when I was studying this, I was actually a film student in Berkeley. And then I met the devotees, and I looked at the picture of Mahavishnu looking Durga. You may have seen that in the Bhagavad Gita. I said, wow, that's a film. That's exactly what I'm studying. I want to know more about this. And then you realize that actually the material world is a film, because the character, we, the soul, identifies with matter, prakriti, and identifies with the character. I'm white, I'm American, I'm Chinese. I said, what? We are living a film. And then when I went farther and studied the Bhagavatam, I realized, well, you know, once you identify with matter, you are forgetting the real source of the identification, which is what you mentioned very nicely as well here, that if you identify with Krishna, right, with the prakriti, not the prakriti, but the creator Purusha. Of the prakriti, the Purusha, then you can go back to the spiritual world, because now you identify with your actual constitutional position as a spirit soul. So very, very interesting. Thank you very much for your class. It was very wonderful.
Thank you so much for
nice comment. For you right now, but I just wanted to mention this, that these identifications is what separate us from the material world, from the spiritual world. And you have to be very careful, because in the second Chatusloka, it says that as soon as you forget Krishna, as soon as you identify with matter, you're done. That's it. You are leaving this film.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yes. Was there a question over here? Yes. I think Mother Sukhada had a question.
Very interesting, because I know nothing about Star Wars, but now I, you know. And it's so interesting that, you know, Joseph Campbell, that these people studied the Bhagavad Gita, and the stories came from that tradition. But I was thinking, like, fear, it's not necessarily something bad, right? Because often it inspires us to take shelter of Krishna. It's just if the fear overcomes us and brings us away from Krishna, then it's negative, correct?
Yes. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivashas. That means that bhayam, bhay dvitiya, that means that it brings out two realities. Bhay, it happens because I'm identifying with something I'm not, that's causing the fear. So it's inherently an opportunity to identify with what am I, then the fear disappears. A few days ago, we celebrated Narasimha Chaturdashi and the story of Prahlad going through massive tribulations. But because he's not identifying with that paradigm, with that material reality, he's not impacted. He's telling Holika, he's sitting in her lap, and he's saying that, you're going to die. You're going to die by this fire. Don't do this. And he's not impacted, because he's living in a spiritual reality, which is obviously where Krishna wants us to be in. And so,
yeah, even I was thinking how even in our world today, there's so many crises all the time, you know. But then when you think of how in the time of Hiranyakashipu, that actually the demigods, including Narada Muni, they were paying obeisances. They were subjugated at the same time. They're waiting for Krishna to intervene. So even in today's world, where things can be so stressful, because you don't know what the outcome is, we don't know if there's going to be a Lord Nityananda or how Krishna will resolve it for ourselves. And also knowing that Krishna is so amazing. Like I was reading 10.88.8, the purport to that verse, where it says how Krishna, he loves his devotees so much. It's not karma. It's not karma. He's creating situations for the devotees to be here, to really, in your words, to be heroes. So thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Could you please get it here?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class. I just wanted to ask, has nobody told Prabhupada about the Star Wars films, like they have made a film out of teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaching? Has it come across Prabhupada?
I don't know. Because the first one came out in 72, right? So possibly, maybe if you look up Veda Base in some conversations to
is
see.
Any conversation about it?
I don't know. You might have to look into it, yeah. I did not look. Possibly.
Thank you.
Yeah, possibly. Any other questions, thoughts, and comments? Yes, mother in the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I've never seen Star Wars, so maybe I'll have to put it on the schedule. But your whole talk made me think of how much of literature, good literature, has this hero's journey in it. Someone had recently given me a Charles Dickens novel, and it took a while, but I read it to the end, and I was amazed that some really mean people had a change of heart at the end, and it was like, oh my God, this is possible. Mm. And this is the thing, it's like all of us have both. The good dog and the bad dog, you know, which one you feed is the one that will win in the end.
Yeah.
So just thank you for bringing this topic up.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, the commonalities across children's books, right? The whole idea of Christmas being stolen by the Grinch and Grinch having a change of heart. The message is similar across traditions, across animated movies, whatever we watch, because ultimately it's the same process. Thank you for sharing. Yes, one more question in the back there. Oh, could someone take it? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, love the topic, very inspiring. If our dark side as spiritual practitioners, if our dark side is lust, anger, and greed, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then what are our tools that we have at our disposal to deal with that?
Well, thank you for your question. Krishna answers it directly. Arjuna says that Krishna, how do I deal with this situation? And Krishna says that you've got to control your mind. And Arjuna says, this is the hardest thing you have told me. It's like worse than controlling the wind. And Krishna answers that, yes, with abhyasa and your vairagya, with practice and with detachment. So he gives us these two practical tools directly. So what is abhyasa, right? So we got to understand what is practice. What are we practicing? In the case of Luke Skywalker, it was practicing dealing with the force. In our situation, the first thing is to understand, because when Krishna talks about the mind, he also gives the framework that you have the mind, you have the body, above the body is the mind, above the mind is intelligence. So he says in the second chapter, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana, that first strengthen your intelligence. Because when your intelligence is strong, then even though your mind wants to go somewhere, you can always bring it back. Because you have a superiority over the intelligence. And then he says, beyond the intelligence is the ego, beyond the intelligence is the self. But he gives a practical example that strengthen your intelligence. He calls it the term Buddhi Yoga. So that is, the practice is the practice of Buddhi Yoga. That how do I practice that my mind doesn't go away? So very simple practice of the japa of practicing Hare Krishna. There is numerous spiritual benefits, but there's a practical benefit of trying to bring our mind to the sound of the mantra, right? Mana trayate iti mantra. The idea of a mantra, man trayate, that means something that transcends the mind. So even if you don't find any taste in the practice of japa, the fact that I am focusing my mind on for 2 hours at a mantra in itself is a huge win. What to speak of all the spiritual benefits that comes beyond. So practice, right? Practicing, strengthening the intelligence, which is also finding more shastras to an association to strengthen that. And then the second thing is vairagya, which is to know that these are the doors for the dark side. How do I detach myself? So on a practical terms, Prabhupada gave us the regulative principles, which are very powerful and applicable, even though we think about it that, yeah, I've heard the 4 regulative principles. But we don't apply it. We don't think about it. on a subtle level, we understand that doing things that will naturally degrade my consciousness. So I have to become, one of my friends talks, uses this term, that we have to become the connoisseurs of our consciousness. That where am I investing my consciousness? And there are places where if I put my consciousness, it's going to be dragged down. So I do practice this detachment of consciousness, that my consciousness is the only entity that I truly own and I truly have. So I would rather invest it in areas where it makes sense. Like an investor knowing that I want to invest in these companies because that's where my money would grow. I want to invest my consciousness in areas where it would grow and it would transcend. So even though it's a simple answer in terms of what Krishna gives, but the application is so wide of us always being aware of where is my consciousness going. When a crisis hits, where does it go? It goes to anger right away. This should not have happened. I should have intervened. You didn't do this. I didn't do that. That means the consciousness is going into anger, right, that Krishna is talking about. So we rise it up to a higher level and understand that, what was my role in this? How did I create this circumstance? So that becomes a way to practice that detachment. So in short, that's the answer.
Thank you so much, because this idea of becoming conscious before you can be Krishna conscious,
right,
is very important, because a lot of people, as just now happened also, when I raised the question, someone said, well, just chant Hare Krishna. But I think it's a little more, it's true, very true. But to chant Hare Krishna, it seems like there is a process that Krishna has given us, which we need to pay attention to as well in terms of focusing our mind and training it. Thank
100%.
You so much for that insight.
Thank you for your question. Okay, thank you so much for participating. The prasadam would be served down in the pavilion, and then we'll get ready for Aarti. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.